What a wonderful anointing today. This is fantastic. Now that last song, Holy Forever by Chris Tomlin, that's the one we play at 633 often, and four times we played that song, Jesus actually has appeared to us. It's been fantastic. The anointing was wonderful. People were healed instantaneously. So we just pray right now that all the blessings of Jesus flow out to everybody here today, for those listening in the future on the internet, and receive the manifestation of their prayers in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Prosper soul and be in health. As most of you know, this quarter I've decreed financial independence quarter. I believe in Jesus' name that this year, people can have major, major breakthroughs in finances. This is going to be the transfer of wealth time for a lot of people. Now, that being said, the transfer of wealth can come to those who are properly prepared for it. God's not going to transfer wealth to people who are improperly prepared and will not do the right things with it. The perfect example of that is most of you know that most of the lottery winners end up broke because they don't know how to handle it. They win millions and millions and millions of dollars, and they don't know what to do with it. You look at a lot of professional athletes like that, and, you know, God bless them. A lot of them grew up poor. They get less money. And then when the season's end for their short term, they can play a sport. They quickly go through it all. The list of bankruptcies among professional athletes is unbelievable. But that's why we must do this today. That's why this session right now, this session we're doing now today, is to get everybody prepared so when the wealth transfer comes in, we use it to glorify God. This is why it's important. He says, be a steward of whatever he gives you. Being a steward means you do it properly. You hear the voice of him, the voice of your high shepherd, so that you know what to do and follow his lead. Yes, there's plenty left over for us to spend on ourselves. Don't misunderstand us. We'll be out of debt. We'll have millions and millions of dollars in our investment accounts. But the important thing is that everything we do is to benefit our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Okay?
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We thank you for this anointing. We thank you, Lord, that as we worship you, Jesus, that you receive our worship as we worship you in spirit and truth. Let's just worship him. I worship you, Jesus. 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 Hallelujah.
Praise you, Lord Jesus. Okay, prosper and be in health. Prosper your soul and be in health. Okay, we're going to review parts 1 and 2 relatively quickly. The Word of God prospers your soul. Okay, 3 John 1, 2. Beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper and are successful in every way and all is well with you and be in health and that your body is healthy even as thy soul prospers as your soul is successful. And that your body is healthy as I know your soul is. Be good, health physically, just as you are spiritually. Okay. All things need to prosper at the same time. As our soul prospers, we become more attuned to the Holy Spirit. As we're more attuned to the Holy Spirit, he leads us and guides us in everything we do. As we discern his voice more appropriately, we know which way to go, and we don't fall into the traps and snares of the enemy. Now, he wants us financially successful. He also wants us healthy. This all encompasses all together.
Now, on October 6th, we had ministered parts 1 and 2 of this series, and we're going to get to part 3. But We want to review it to refresh your memory and to just go right into that next part. And remember that this word in the Greek, when you prosper your soul, that word prosper can also mean successful. So number two, it would be a definition, and we could read it also like this. Your soul will prosper, be successful and in health, even as your soul prospers. How? By speaking the word of God. You need to also be a doer of God's word, not a hearer only. Then you will be transformed by renewing your mind with the word of God. And as we look at that, we've noticed that many people who have financial challenges on a constant, regular basis have never been able to get to that level of being successful, and has had challenges with sickness or infirmities, and they have received maybe some healing but not all of their healing. We find that we need to help our soul to be more successful as the root and the foundation by which we can then have the good side effect or benefit of prospering in our finances, prospering in our bodies and in our health. So we're really digging deeper to be more successful in our soul, in our mind, in our emotions, in our will, in everything that has to do with connecting that with our soul. And so many people will hear the word, but they're not acting on it. And so that's not prospering your soul if you're not doing everything the word says. So we have to activate it, okay? And then the centurion had said to the Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word and my servant will be healed. Do we really believe the word of God, that everything that we speak that is the word of God, we have received it right then? Because God's word is now. Faith is now. Not will be, not, you know, maybe one day. No, it says that now faith is. And so we have to believe that we've received it, even though we haven't seen the delivery of it from heaven. We know that it's already ours, it belongs to us, and that we have placed an order, a one-time order on that request, that petition. God heard it. He's not deaf. He doesn't have Alzheimer's. He remembers it. But sometimes when faith is blocked, it's like your faith bridge from heaven to earth may have some kind of wavering or doubt, or maybe it's just a discouragement challenge. Sometimes people have been waiting for a long time and you're doing everything right, but the devil, he tries to steal, kill, and destroy, and he tries to steal the patience. He tries to steal the encouragement. And so don't be weary in well-doing. Don't give up. Don't quit, because you have the victory. What you have prayed for, God has granted it, and now we are in glad expectation of that delivery to be coming to the earthly realm and manifest, because it's already ours. Remember, when someone writes you a check, is it yours when you receive it from the mail and it's in your hands? Or is it yours when the person that signed it and put your name on it is before the delivery? Well, you all know that answer. It's yours as soon as your name is on it and the check is valid with that signature. Jesus paid his price and he died for us, and that blood redeemed us and paid for everything for us. Everything in heaven and all the promises are yea and amen, and they belong to us. Therefore, we thank the Lord with our affirmations. And that is reminding the devil and sticking it in the devil's face that God's word is true and we are not wavering on it, in Jesus' name. And that's how we also prosper our souls and be more successful, so that we can receive the things that we need and answer prayer in Jesus' name. Amen?
Amen. In Romans 12:2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. And I'm going to pull these things all together right now for you. Pastor Karen and I had the honor of meeting Peter Daniels twice. Now, Peter Daniels was a very successful businessman from Australia. He was actually a multi-billionaire. But in the 40s, when he was growing up, he had dyslexia and several learning disabilities. They didn't know how to diagnose back then. They just called him stupid. They literally put him in a corner with a dunce cap on. That's how they treated him. Okay. He goes to a Billy Graham crusade to make fun of Billy Graham, of all things, and he admits this publicly. He gets saved. He received. But as he said, Lord, heal my mind. I need you to heal my mind. And from that point, he wanted to make billions and billions of dollars. He started successful companies, different things. He has an institute of entrepreneurship. But I love the story he tells. When he would travel to Christian churches, he paid his own way. Every offering took in went directly to the church. He received nothing. He's one of blessed by God for what he'd done for him. So one time he goes to this one church and does his preaching and gets people excited and teaches them how to become successful. And he goes to the hotel, and the hotel says, no, Mr. Daniels, the church has already paid for this. And Peter says, no, you can't do that. I have to do this. This is my order from the Lord. Now, here's something else. When you get an order from the Lord, you follow it exactly what he tells you to do. I cannot receive that. I must pay my own way. And this went back and forth, back and forth. Finally, looked and said, young man, either you cancel the church's bill, order, charge, and put it on my card, or I'll buy this hotel and fire you. Now, that's clout. But the bottom line is, the Word of God changed this man from a construction worker bricklayer with barely any kind of intelligence to enough to speak several multiple languages fluently and deal with international business all around the world.
And one of the things that impressed me when we were talking to him, I believe that he said that one of the first book that he could read normally, mm-hmm. Guess what it is? The Bible.
Okay. So the point is, as you speak the word over yourself, believe that you received it, and you transform your mind. Okay? Praise God. All right. B, Jesus prospers you and makes you successful in every area of your life. Keyword here is every. Every area of your life. Okay? Luke 4:16-19. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, he has sent me, being Jesus, to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to captives, and recover the sight to the blind, and set liberty to all those who are oppressed. Now, one thing you may notice, in the Old Testament, no prophet, nobody brought sight to the blind. Jesus was the first one to do that. I don't really know exactly why that was, but the bottom line is so people could see the truth, hear the truth. But that's what made him unique, because he was different from all the other prophets. Okay, but he heals the brokenhearted. If you ever seen somebody who's challenged to be depressed, they just don't want to go to work. They got all these issues and challenges. It's tough to get their faith level up. You see them where their heart has been healed and cured, the broken heart has been healed and cured. They, okay, it's all right, we can take it on. I use a lot of sports analogies. You see this in sports teams all the time. You can look at them. The ones who have heart, they pursue to the very end. Yogi Berra, it ain't over till it's over. That's exactly the way it is. We don't quit because we have Jesus on our side, with the Holy Spirit inside of us. We don't quit. That's right, Karen.
Amen. And the resurrection power, that is so important. Jesus is the only God, and he proved it by resurrecting. And we worship him, and he wants to prosper every single person. If you're poor, if you're prosperous, he wants us to be successful. See, there's a lot of really rich people with a lot of money, but they don't have success sometimes in some areas of their life. The majority of them, we hear, they don't even have success in uniting their family. They're distanced from their son or daughter, they don't have good relationships, or they get divorce challenged, or there's a lot of things going on in their life. There's somewhere that they are lacking something, because money does not buy those things. So someone could be poor in their spirit, someone could be poor in their finances. But you know what? Jesus became poor. He left all the riches of heaven to become man and have the right to be Son of Man, Son of God, our Redeemer, our Savior, our Lord. And thank you, Lord God, that He wants us to prosper in every area of our life and not have a poor perspective about who we are. Remember, you're going to hear this all the time. You are a co-heir with Christ Jesus. You are not down below and downtrodden, because the devil's supposed to be down under our feet, right? We are going to pull ourselves up whenever we have a challenge and continue to sit in high places with Jesus, far, 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 far above whatever challenge you're facing now. And if you don't think that you can make it, and if you don't think that you can afford it, that's a poor mentality. If you don't think things will work for you, God wants to tell you, no, 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 that's not His way. Renew our minds to know that He has given us all things on this earth, above the earth, under the earth, because of who we are in Christ Jesus. And we no longer have that poverty, poor mentality, because in the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow to the name of Jesus, whom you serve and who you have been sent forth as the ambassador of God in Christ Jesus. Because of that resurrection lightning power inside of you, demons, devils, and evil spirits, when you are submitted to God and His word and do it and take your authority and your dominion, those demons, devils, evil spirits, sickness, disease, challenges, flee from you. Tell that right now. Say, sickness, flee from me in the name of Jesus.
Sickness, flee from me in the name of Jesus.
Challenges, flee from me in the name of Jesus.
Challenges, flee from me in the name of Jesus.
I am. The righteousness of God.
The righteousness of God.
In Christ Jesus.
In Christ Jesus.
And everything I do.
And everything I do.
Is successful.
Is successful.
Because I glorify Him.
Because I glorify Him.
And I'm a doer of His word.
And I'm a doer of His word.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Now, don't hold back, dear. It's okay. All right, Jesus prospers the poor. Now, the sad part is, too many Christians are challenged to be poor. Why did Jesus die on the cross? To give us everything. Everything. Okay? Luke 4:18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. All right, we're going to D now. Jesus heals the brokenhearted. Now, we talked a little bit about this before. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He anointed me and sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Emotional healing. He has sent me, Jesus, to heal the brokenhearted. Broken heart. Greek definition of broken means to break into pieces, shatter. Or definition of heart means cardiac, broken heart, or shattered heart. Many attacks the evil one. God's enemy can come because of a broken or shattered heart. Emotional or physical. Satan hates us. He hates all humans. And his joy is to cause trials, tribulations, and turmoil in people's lives. Nobody's exempt from this. He even tried Jesus. Jesus refuted him with the word of God, but he tried Jesus. So we're not exempt. Here's the bottom line. Jesus heals our brokenhearted. So when Satan comes in and causes marital problems, go to Jesus and heal it. When Satan causes physical problems, go to Jesus and heal it. When Satan causes financial problems, we go to Jesus and heal it. But if our heart is healed and ready, we're willing to take on and do what needs to be done. Okay? That's right, Karen?
E, let Jesus heal your broken heart and restore your soul. Now, we did a workshop on Wednesday nights. It's really great. On Wednesday nights in Overcomer Service, we activate and implement what we're teaching on Sunday. So some of you I asked to do this, and some of you weren't able to make it. So I'd like you to get a piece of paper, a pen or pencil, or on your phone. And I want you to write down on that paper, what would you do with an inheritance that you were told that you have been bequeathed and it's yours?
Now we're talking billions.
What would you do? I want you to write down three top things. What would you do? Okay, let's move forward. Some of you still think about it. Write the question down, and then you can answer that later. Here's another question. Who would you bless? Three top places, ministries, church, or people, three entities. Who would you bless? Okay, number three, would your self-esteem and self-confidence elevate? A workman or workwoman is worthy of their hire. Your Heavenly Father owns the universe. If you are a co-heir with Christ Jesus, that means you are already a billionaire in God's standard. Our King is Jesus. That makes you a daughter or son of the King. And when you are given an arena or area to reign over, you can't be a prince or a princess because that's a young person or someone who hasn't, an adult who hasn't been seated on a throne. Or hasn't been given authority over that area. But God calls you to have authority, to have dominion. Therefore, you're a king or a queen serving under our King Jesus. We reign over the earth, above the earth and under the earth, with his delegated authority. Because we've been engrafted and adopted into his family, that all rights that Jesus has, all resources, wealth, and riches that Jesus has belongs to you and me. So we need to act like it, think like it, and be a doer of that which you wrote down. You need to ask God to help you change your mindset. That this is who you truly are and what God wants you to do, because he gives us blessings to bless others. We are the conduit by which it flows. We are to glorify him and only him. You know, we have been supplied hundreds of thousands of dollars to us throughout the years of us being saved. Yeah. We have blessed ministries with tens and thousands of dollars. And we have given this wealth to the kingdom. And we have seen every supply need, every supply that we needed, supplied. And we were able to supply others. And we always, even when we have had some struggles or challenges, or like going through the pandemic or in the past, when the devil tried to come against us, you know, God got us out of every challenge, every time, by faith. By faith, God got us out of that challenge because we know who our supplier is. We know who our provider is. And we don't go after him for what he can give. We just worship him and love him and want to serve him. And then he gives us what we need to serve him because he never fails. He never lies. His word is always true. And we thank the Lord for that in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. God is so good. And I see that your faith level has risen to another level. I can see in the spirit realm that you are now grasping that God wants you to do big things for him because we have much to do to expand the kingdom of God, to get more people saved, to get more people set free, to get more people that are in the body of Christ to see who they are in Christ Jesus so they can affect their community. They can affect for the positive and for change in their life, that God did not make us to be people who are beggars. We don't beg God for anything. No, we thank him for what's already ours in Jesus' name. And we know that he is not a liar. So if you ask him for bread, he's not going to give you a stone. So in Jesus' name, we decree multimillionaires in Jesus' name because God has called us over 30 years ago to be multimillionaires and to serve him in this capacity. Why? Because we will be able to influence in a greater way our community to show them the love of God, because you can't do it without money. And we don't serve money. We serve our God.
Money is a tool.
Money is the tool.
Now, let me give you an example here. We had two horrific hurricanes down in the southeast recently. The first people on the scene was Samaritan's Purse. Frank and Graham had enough money to hire helicopters, start going looking for survivors right away. Now, when he found those people, even if they weren't saved, do you think they thanked God for those helicopters showing up? My question, though, is if we each had $1 billion, we could have all sent helicopters down there. How many more people could have been saved and led to the Lord? Not to bless us, but to bless the Lord.
Yeah.
There is no limit to what God can do, and he expects us to do greater things than Jesus did. What did Jesus do? He fed 20,000 just by praying over some bread and loaves and fishes. Okay? What did Jesus do? He told Peter where to drop his net for huge hauls. What did Jesus do? He paid taxes out of the fish of a mouth. There's nothing we cannot do if we really listen to Jesus and follow Jesus. Now, I know people hit with some huge challenges the last few years. Ever since COVID, most people's finances have been turned upside down. We talked to churches all over the United States. With one exception, probably, they're all hurting so much it's unbelievable. They're down by 50, 60, 70% in tithes and offerings and congregation members. We know people had terrific medical expenses by sudden challenges. And, you know, hospitals aren't cheap. We know people have had huge issues just because inflation is eating away at the very money they want to put into an investment or something. But what that means is that we have to really press into the Lord, because the Lord can answer all these challenges immediately. Now today, on our prayer time, we bless all church affiliated with 633. We got the word that they're going to start expanding and growing supernaturally, because these challenging times are going to push more people into the churches, more people back to God. Why? Because what the devil does for bad, God will use for good. Okay, Pastor Karen?
F, God rejects sin and disobedience. So we're starting part three here. According to the number of days in which you spied out the land, 40 days, for each day you shall bear your guilt 1 year, namely 40 years, and you shall know my rejection. And God was talking to them about their disobedience, and because of that, then he rejected them. And in Hosea 8:3, it said, Israel has rejected the good and the enemy will pursue him. You know, they lived in safety. They lived in peace when they were doing everything God wanted them to do. If you have challenges and turmoil in your life, it's good to reflect and ask the Lord, am I doing everything right or is there something I'm unaware of? And ask the Holy Spirit. So do a checkup on that. Number one, do not reject God as the Father, Jesus, or the Holy Spirit. He is despised and rejected by men, Isaiah 53:3, and a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised and we did not esteem him. So see, Jesus knows how you feel because he's gone through it, probably worse than the rest of us. Look what we had to go through on that cross. And the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone, Psalm 118:22. In Wikipedia, the definition of a cornerstone is the first stone set. Now, we're talking about not a regular building, but this is done with very important buildings that they want as a memorial or as a holy place, like a temple or a tabernacle or some very official building. They will put a cornerstone and that sets the entire architectural design in reference to that stone, determining the position of that entire structure. And that became a ceremonial masonry stone. It's actually, you could see it on the outside, it's a corner where the two walls come together, and it is more pronounced on the outside, and it indicating the construction dates of the building or names of the architect or builder or other significant individuals it's being dedicated to. The rite of laying a cornerstone is an important cultural component of Eastern architecture, especially. And so we have some here, too, in the United States, especially through the, you know, the colonial days. And metaphorically, in sacred architecture, why? Metaphorically, Jesus referring to himself as a chief cornerstone, meaning that he is setting everything up, that we are built on his joining us together as part of the foundation of that building. Now, Oxford Dictionary definitions of a cornerstone is a stone uniting two masonry walls and an intersection, a stone representing the nominal starting place in the construction of a monumental building. It's essential and indispensable. So he who hears you hears me, Jesus is saying. He who rejects you rejects Jesus, and he who rejects Jesus rejects him who sent him, his heavenly Father, according to Luke 10:16. So rejecting God, that's when the enemy can attack and will attack people. And then when they receive Jesus as Lord and Savior and accepted into the sheepfold, then we know that we're looking to him as our chief cornerstone. He's essential in our lives. He's indispensable. And nothing can be built without Jesus being that first foundational rock that we stand on in Jesus' name. Now, rejection is one of the demons that can attack people due to a broken or shattered heart, physical or spiritual. So we pray right now in the name of Jesus, anyone that has had that, a physical heart challenge, an emotional heart challenge, we pray for complete healing in Jesus' name, because the Lord wants to bless you in many, many ways and use you that no one else can do what God has called you to do. You are a significant part of the body of Christ, and we thank you, Lord, for healing each person that has been going through that in Jesus' name. As you let Jesus heal your broken heart and cleanse you of rejection, Psalm 66:16-20 says that he has done for my soul. I cried to him and high praises was on my tongue. And if I had cherished iniquity in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. But you, confess your sins. You deal with unaware sins. Most ABCers are such diligent prayer warriors, and God has truly listened to you. Blessed be God, because He has not rejected your prayer or my prayer or removed His steadfast love from me or you. I thank you, Lord, for demonstrating your steadfast love to each and every person right now, healing any part in their heart. If someone had betrayed them, if someone had abused them, if they had a lost loved one and grieving that loss and their heart was challenged to be broken because of it, whatever it is, Lord God, you are healing their hearts and healing and restoring their souls in Jesus' name.
Now, we just talked about unaware sins prayer, and I'm led to kind of go here for a little bit. It's a little bit off target, but I think it's important. Once in a while, perhaps daily or every couple of days, ask the Lord, what are my unaware sins? Because if you're not aware of them, you keep doing them, the sin comes back upon you. Let me give you an example of this. Let's say, for example, you're driving down the freeway, and it's a beautiful day, and the sun's out, and the car's powerful, you're not watching the speedometer, you don't notice, but you're driving 90 miles an hour, okay? You say, I've done unaware sins prayer. So you do unaware sins prayer, and yes, you're forgiven at that point, but since you haven't slowed down, the minute you're done, the sin is back upon you. You got to ask, what is that unaware sin? So you stop doing the unaware sins prayer. You're cleansed of it, but you need to find out what it is so you can stop doing it. What's my unaware sin, Lord? You're speeding. Oh, slow down. Now you're not in sin anymore, okay?
Amen. Hallelujah.
Okay, Jesus can restore your soul. Psalm 23:3, He refreshes and restores my life, myself. He leads me in the paths of righteousness, uprightness, and right standing with Him, not for my earning it, but for His namesake. The law of the Lord is perfect, this is Psalms 19:7, restoring the whole person. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making the wise simple. Now let's put this back in perspective with our first thing. Prosper your soul. Be in health, even as your soul prospers. Prosper, be in health, so prospers. It's everything together. We've heard about these multi-millionaire and billionaires, but once they're sick, the money's no good to them. Okay? If they haven't got the health to enjoy it with them, that's one thing. And if they are healthy and they're wealthy, but their soul isn't prosperous and they go to hell, it's worth nothing. It's the whole thing put together that we have to improve. As we do this, you take a foundation, and the foundation builds the strength of everything else around it. But as you're building up, you still can't do shoddy work on the building, or the building will collapse above the foundation. So all the way up, we're going to build strong foundations for our souls, for our physical well-being, and for the transfer of wealth. Okay? G. Jesus gives liberty and sets the captives free. Luke 4:18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He's anointed me to proclaim liberty to the captives. You are free from all the limitations the world is trying to put on you. You are free to do what the Lord tells you to do. Now, I'm not saying there won't be challenges. When you look at Paul on the island of Malta, shipwrecked, cold, bitten by a snake. Comes from there to minister to the governor's father, I think it was, and goes back to Rome on the biggest, best ship in the Mediterranean. Okay? But there was still a challenge he had to overcome. He couldn't let that snake bite cause any fear to him. He had to shake it off and know that the anointing in him was stronger than that snake venom. That nothing will harm him. No weapon of the enemy will harm him in Jesus' name. Okay? Go ahead, Pastor Karen.
You know, Jesus wants to set everybody free of every single challenge. But sometimes when the battle is in the mind and in self-esteem and self-worth, then Jesus needs to restore the soul and set the person free in their mindset and their perspective, their self-perspective of who they are. And the goal of the teaching is to help us reset to a next level, wherever we're at, the next level, that God is bigger than what you already have. I mean, we've been in positions where Pastor James owned many properties in his hometown. In fact, the number one business that he had, I don't want to be naming businesses.
I had a franchise. The franchise I had was one of the most profitable in the state. It was the most profitable outside of Chicago.
So in the entire state of Illinois.
It was fantastic. And it was a very unique position. The Lord led me to get a hold of. The location was well designed for, it was a restaurant for both lunch and dinner crowds. And then, of course, we opened for breakfast, and that served well, too. Then he brought in school programs and other things to add more to it. And as people traveled to Springfield to see the Lincoln Museums and things like that, we got a lot of the school people pulling their buses up to get the food for that. It was just a wonderful blessing. It was fantastic. And I had to fight for that location.
Mm-hmm.
Because once I had met with the owner of the land, one of the other peoples in town wanted to take it from me and called corporate and says, I want this property first. The corporate says, sure, you can have it. I had to go through legal battle, not legal so much, but I had to call the owner and say, you need to send a letter out that this was already negotiated by me, following the guidelines, which he did, and I eventually got that location. But there was a challenge. I was able to overcome it. Of course, it was very profitable. Go ahead.
And so he took his authority in Jesus' name. And he knew that the Lord had given him that location, and he was not going to give up what God had told him to do, and took authority over and dominion over that situation, because he already had a contract with the owner of the land, which corporate didn't know. And so there was this fine point. But if he just, okay, you could go ahead and have it, then he wouldn't have been able to give to the gospel, because it was so prosperous, it was amazing. And he had another business where his clients were the governor, senators, bank presidents and CEOs, very famous people if we name the names, and he could be a light for God to them. And because they weren't going to church to meet Jesus, he was able to be the light where they could see how his Jesus was in operation. And, you know, between us, we've given 5 really good cars away to people and blessed them. He owned much property, and one day the Lord said to us, give away the 2-story home to XYZ people. Title deed it over to them. Well, Lord, we were planning on living there. No, I have other plans for you. Okay, and we did. We blessed that a young couple who are Christian, and God wanted them to have it with their kids, and they're serving the Lord and doing great things for God. And it just, when you're in a position where you could be a blesser, you know that God always takes care of you wherever you're at. And we have blessed many, many ministries and helped many people start their ministries and pastored pastors and help them and help their churches to grow enormously. And so we want to just give and help God's kingdom to grow. Whatever we have belongs to Him. So we know He takes care of us no matter what. And we have allowed God to set our minds free from just living paycheck to paycheck and not knowing where our provision's coming from. We know He provides for us even through the hard times. And even Elijah had hard times, and he had to go by a brook. At least God grew a tree up for shade over him, whatever it was. And ravens didn't bring him, you know, leftover little crumbs. They brought him meat and food from the king's table to sustain him. And then when that brook dried up with water, he went to start miracles and help a woman start a financial business for her to prosper, for her to be able to not just have one more meal, not just have a month's worth of supply. No, God gave her exceedingly abundantly above all she could ask, hope, or think, because she allowed God to help her change her mindset of the provision of God is abundance, and Jesus gives us that abundance, and you already have everything because of the New Testament covenant you have. You are an heir of all of that abundance so that we could use it for God's kingdom. Amen. And bless many more people.
I agree. Okay, go ahead. So Jesus heals the blind and every infirmity. Luke 4:18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim liberty, recover of sight to the blind, physical healing of blindness, physical healing of every sickness and infirmity. Jesus even helps people with giving you spiritual clarity, comprehension, understanding for spiritual blindness. And this is very important here. When you have that clarity, when you're getting this, you know immediately when Satan presents something to you, if it's of God or not of God. I don't care how good it looks on top. I don't care how fantastic it looks. If it's not of God, walk away from it. Because you need that right now. Jesus, for judgment I have come into this world. Those who do not see may see. Those who see may be made blind. And Jesus said, for judgment I have come into this world. For those who do not see may see. I think that repeat. For those who may see may be made blind. Okay. Anyway, John 9:39. Jesus came.
Those who do not see and those who see may be made blind. See, the judgment's coming, and people who think they know and don't know God, they really don't see correctly. And people might think that it's the Lord doing something, but they need to know for sure it's God, because they need to be of God and have the Spirit of God inside of them.
I can honestly say every mistake I ever made because I wasn't hearing the Holy Spirit correctly.
Right.
Okay. Jesus gives liberty to get the oppressed spiritually. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to set liberty those who are oppressed. In this world today, almost everybody has some type of challenge of oppression. Okay? Jesus is your answer. Okay? Delivers and cleanses, also prescribed in Luke 4:18, to proclaim the liberty of the captives, to set liberty those who are oppressed. Oppressed, the King James, who are bruised, and the Amplified, downtrodden, bruised, and crushed. An Amplified classic, broken down by calamity. 2 Thessalonians 2:13, we are bound to give thanks to God, always for you. Brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God, from the beginning, chose you for salvation through the sanctification by the Spirit in belief and truth. Always remember, he chose you. He chose you.
So Jesus gives liberty to get the oppressed spiritually cleansed and set free. And he wants to get everyone set free of a mindset that you have limitations. And in the King James, oppressed means those who are bruised. In the Amplified, says those who are downtrodden, bruised, and crushed. And in the Amplified Classic, it says those that are broken down by calamity. So no matter what calamity, pandemics, or challenges that are going to come upon the earth that Book of Revelations has talked about, we don't fear. Why? Because we're on God's side. Amen. And 2 Thessalonians 2:13 says, but we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and believe in the truth. And so we thank you, Lord, for setting people free today. That we thank you, Lord, that every person will prosper in their soul and be in health in a greater degree, more success of seeing who they are and can do more for God and his kingdom with a greater amount of blessings and resources and be a greater blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Okay. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we praise and glorify you. Thank you for all you've done for us. We thank you that people today are encouraged and can reach up to you, Lord, to feel and sense your presence around them totally, completely, and to believe your word that you are going to bless them. They have no fear going forward, but the boldness of the Lord in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. I just want you to take some time and close your eyes. Let's just reach up to heaven. from where our help comes from. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for your great anointing right now. It's just saturating every single person, flowing to each person from the top of our heads to the soles of our feet. You say your anointing breaks every yoke of bondage, Lord God. Any bondage of a self-esteem or self-worth or insecurities or any challenges of sickness or any financial challenges that person is challenged to be worried and concerned, Lord God, you are healing and restoring their soul, making them more successful, who they see themselves to be in Christ Jesus. Lord God, you are breaking shackles off of people right now. You are changing mindsets, washing their minds with the watering of the Word of God that they've just heard. Oh, Lord God, the other day that when we were ministering this, parts one and two, someone had let us know that they caught completely set free of oppression. Hallelujah. Completely set free of oppression. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. We worship you. We worship you. We worship you. Let's just worship him. The anointing is very strong right now. Those of you that need healings or a miracle, you just receive it right now. Those of you that need to be catapulted to receive your financial blessings because you're a tither and you're a godly giver, receive those blessings right now. Those of you that have any worry and concern or grief, receive the oil of joy for mourning any loss right now. Those of you that are tired and fatigued or stressed out, receive what you need from the Lord right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Those that are discouraged, receive that encouragement and the joy of the Lord. That spirit of power and might coming upon you right now. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Restoring souls. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Showing them who they are in Christ Jesus, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And that they're not weary in well-doing. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. The Lord is doing a lot of stuff right now. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen. Okay. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Okay, Holy Communion. 1 Corinthians 11:24. And we give it thanks. He broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this to call me affectionately to remembrance." So we do remember you, Jesus, because we do this right now. Please repeat this prayer with me. Dear Heavenly Father.
Dear Heavenly Father.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
As we come to your table.
As we come to your table.
We remember the sacrifice of your Son.
We remember the sacrifice of your Son.
Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ.
We thank you for your body.
We thank you for your body.
That was broken for us.
That was broken for us.
And thank you for drawing us.
And thank you for drawing us.
Closer to you.
Closer to you.
Closer one to one another.
Closer one to another.
In this church.
In this church.
We pray that ABC Church.
We pray that ABC Church
is unified.
Is unified.
According to 1 Corinthians 1:10.
According to 1 Corinthians 1:10.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
That we all speak the same thing.
That we all speak the same thing.
That there are no divisions among us.
That there are no divisions among us.
But that we are perfectly joined together.
And that we are perfectly joined together.
In the same mind.
In the same mind.
And in the same judgment.
And in the same judgment.
Just as we are unified.
Just as we are unified.
With the Godhead.
With the Godhead.
The three in one.
The three in one.
We are unified with each other.
We are unified one with another.
And with you.
And with you.
Heavenly Father.
Heavenly Father.
Jesus.
Jesus.
And the Holy Spirit.
And the Holy Spirit.
I now take your body.
I now take your body.
And in doing so.
And in doing so.
I agree and receive.
I agree and receive.
All of God's blessings.
All of God's blessings.
And promises.
And promises.
For at ABC Church.
For at ABC Church.
For a new spiritual season.
For a new spiritual season.
just began.
Just began.
For each of us.
For each of us.
In the body of Christ.
In the body of Christ.
We expect new beginnings.
We expect new beginnings.
Of God's goodness.
Of God's goodness.
Amen.
Amen.
All right, let's take this body, eat this body in remembrance of Jesus.
And we agree and we receive that in Jesus' name. And according to 1 Corinthians 11:25 through 26, the Amplified Classic Version, similarly, when supper was ended, he, meaning Jesus, took the cup and also saying, "This cup is the new covenant, ratified and established in your blood. As often as we drink it, we call God affectionately to remembrance. For every time we eat this bread and drink this cup, we are representing and signifying and proclaiming the fact of the Lord's death until he comes again, and he is definitely coming back soon." Can you please repeat this prayer with me? Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus.
Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus.
We thank you, Lord.
We thank you, Lord.
For the blood of Jesus.
For the blood of Jesus.
That was the payment.
That was the payment.
For our redemption.
For our redemption.
We partake of your blood.
We partake of your blood.
And of the new and everlasting covenant.
And of the new and everlasting covenant.
And this is the covenant.
This is the covenant.
That we have made with you.
That we have made with you.
For eternal salvation.
For eternal salvation.
Because Jesus.
Because Jesus.
The Son.
The Son.
Has made us free.
Has made us free.
And we thank you, Lord.
We thank you, Lord.
That the blood of Jesus.
That the blood of Jesus.
Is so powerful.
Is so powerful.
Jesus' blood.
Jesus' blood.
And his DNA.
And his DNA.
Is inside of us.
Is inside of us.
And we are born again.
We are born again.
And filled.
And filled.
With the Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen. Let's partake and drink of the Lord's cup in remembrance of Jesus now. We agree and receive in Jesus' name. Amen.
Okay, praise God. Let's do our 20 affirmations. We've been healed by the stripes of Jesus. Are you ready?
We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus.
One more.
We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. Hallelujah.